From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, July 30th. I'm Abby Larico. Five people are running for lieutenant governor in Missouri's upcoming Republican primary, a position without much tangible power, but this year, candidates see it as an opportunity.
I'll use the lieutenant governor's office as a bully pulpit to expose the corruption and insider deals that are taking place in Jefferson City.
Hear how the frontrunners are trying to distinguish themselves, coming up on The Gateway. The head of the St. Louis Board of Education is acknowledging that Superintendent Keisha Scarlett's abrupt leave of absence was not voluntary. It was announced Friday, and Board President Tony Cousins would not say when or if Scarlett would return. St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin reports.
The school board declined any comment last week. When asked Monday if the superintendent had been fired, school board president Tony Cousins said, not at this time. Cousins did say the board voted to place Scarlett on leave and did so because of several concerns. The only one she named was Scarlett's choice for the system's new chief of communications, a decision that critics attacked after the new hire posted online about her plans to float between the job and her home in Houston. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch reports that Scarlett hired several associates from her previous job in Seattle and that the district removed some of those employees last week. When asked if there are new vacancies in key positions, Cousins said she could not comment on personnel matters. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
Two videos showing the early moments of a 2022 St. Louis school shooting that killed a student and a teacher and injured seven others will be made public Wednesday. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Littman has why.
The first video is about 9 minutes of school surveillance footage that shows the suspect moving through the halls of Central Visual and Performing Arts High School. The second video is from the body camera of one of the first responding officers and shows the shootout with the suspect. St. Louis Police Chief Robert Tracy says the department is releasing the footage to comply with the state's open records laws.
But it's not something we take any joy in doing, to re-traumatize people.
A 700-page report on the shooting is also complete and will be released after it is redacted. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
The legal back and forth over whether Christopher Dunn can be freed from prison continues. Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey yesterday told the state Supreme Court that a St. Louis judge has no authority to order Dunn's immediate release. That order had come from Circuit Court Judge Jason Sangheiser last week when he overturned Dunn's 1991 murder and assault conviction, finding him innocent after 33 years in custody. Dunn's lawyers from the Midwest Innocence Project say it's illegal for the Department of Corrections to ignore the judge's ruling. In response, Bailey told the high court that under state law, circuit judges can merely grant motions or vacate or set aside judgments. As the court works this out, Dunn remains in prison. About 100 people gathered in Keener Plaza downtown last night, calling for justice for Sonia Massey, a Central Illinois woman killed by a police officer in her home. St. Louis Public Radio's Madison Holcomb reports from the vigil.
Say her name.
Sonia Massey!
Say her name.
Activists chanted the name of the black woman killed earlier this month, who had called 911 to report a potential prowler outside her home. They also chanted the names of others to raise awareness about police violence against black women. Kayla Reed with Action St. Louis helped organize the event. She says she's disheartened by Massey's death.
I can't put words to how many names I know of people I never met, but stories I've heard of how they were killed by police, and it's an endless list, and I want that list to end.
The officer who shot and killed Massey has since been fired from the Sangamon County Sheriff's Office and is charged with murder. I'm Madison Holcomb, St. Louis Public Radio.
A federal appeals court says Missouri's temporary ban on former legislators working as lobbyists is unconstitutional. Sam Zeff has more on the Monday ruling.
The law banned lawmakers and legislative staff from working as lobbyists for 2 years after leaving the State House. It was part of a 2018 ballot initiative approved by voters called Clean Missouri. In a unanimous ruling, the 8th Circuit Court of Appeals said the lobbying ban violates the First Amendment and said the state failed to point out, quote, real-world examples of corruption involving recently departed legislators or legislative employees. The suit was brought by former Republican State Representative Rocky Miller from Central Missouri and a former legislative assistant. Both claimed the law violated their freedom of speech and limited their employment opportunities. I'm Sam Zeff.
Insurance plans in Illinois will have to cover pregnancy, postpartum, and newborn care from doulas and midwives. It's part of the state's so-called Birth Equity Initiative, signed into law Monday. Democratic State Senator Lakeisha Collins says black women are far more susceptible to pregnancy complications, and she says this measure will help them access more options.
Together, we have broken yet another barrier, rewriting the wrongs of history and ensuring that this cycle of systemic racism and oppression ends. And now they have options to birth their babies at homes or at a center, which is deeply rooted in our history.
The measure also helps fund community birthing centers, changes certain Medicaid reimbursement rates, and starts a diaper distribution pilot program. Most of the law takes effect in 2026, but some midwife services will be covered starting next year. Unlike many other states, the lieutenant governor in Missouri doesn't run on a ticket with the governor. Instead, voters elect the state's second in command. As Noah Taborda reports, five Republicans are out to capture the nomination, despite the position's limited authority.
The lieutenant governor in Missouri doesn't have much tangible power. Of course, the chief requirement is that they take over as governor should their predecessor leave office, just as Mike Parson did in 2018.
I, Michael L. Parson,
do solemnly swear.
But despite recent history, a Missouri lieutenant governor's duties are to serve on state boards and commissions, preside over the Senate, and advocate for the state's elderly. So it might seem odd that candidates are spending millions of dollars to secure the nomination in the August primary. Two state senators, an attorney, a businessman who is no stranger to campaigns, and a county clerk. It's one of the most crowded races this year. Among the biggest spenders looking to differentiate themselves from the pack is State Senator Lincoln Huff of Springfield.
We've got to stop this politically correct BS and get behind our law enforcement guys and let them do their job.
That's Huff announcing his campaign for lieutenant governor earlier this year. Huff served in the House for several years before winning a Senate seat representing Greene County. He says a lieutenant governor is best suited in a complementary role to the governor. If he wins, he says his main focus would be promoting Missouri and supporting ongoing initiatives like expanding 200 miles of I-70 from two lanes to three.
In the next few years, I-70 is going to retake its place as a main artery through this country.
But throughout his campaign, he's also emphasized border security, an issue he expects to continue focusing on should he win. State Senator Holly Rader of Scott City, meanwhile, told 101.9 News Talk STL earlier this year the position appeals to her for that chance to work on specific issues, rather than the broad subjects covered in the legislature.
I look at it as a huge opportunity to really focus on some mental health needs, some addiction needs for our state, and really try to make a difference in those areas.
Rader says her life experience growing up around drug addiction and domestic violence inspired this focus. She also sponsored a bill earlier this year to ban child marriage in Missouri. Rader was married at 15 and became a mother at 16. Rader says the state needs, quote, strong, unwavering leadership on conservative values. She sponsored a bill, now a law, that restricts athletes to participate in male or female sports based on their gender at birth. She also supported bills in favor of weakening gun restrictions.
You know, when it comes to me, I have discussions with my family and with God.
Rader would be just the second woman to win the position. The first was Democrat Harriet Woods, who was elected back in the 1980s. Rader and Huff did not respond to interview requests regarding their respective campaigns. David Wassinger is an attorney in St. Louis for a law firm he owns and manages. He says he's the most conservative in the field.
Running for lieutenant governor, he'll drain the Jefferson City swamp and work with Trump to deport the illegals.
Wassinger is also a certified public accountant using more than $2 million of his own funds to boost his campaign. His interest in lieutenant governor isn't about continuing work in the statehouse, but overhauling it.
So I'll use the lieutenant governor's office as a bully pulpit to expose the corruption and insider deals that are taking place in Jefferson City.
Wassinger describes himself as an America First conservative on fiscal, social, and constitutional issues. Two other candidates from outside the legislature are also vying for a spot. Paul Berry III is a St. Louis County businessman who has run unsuccessfully in five campaigns since 2012. Like Berry, Tim Baker ran for Franklin County Commissioner three times and lost each one, but eventually settled as the county clerk. A previous candidate, Matthew E. Porter, suspended his campaign in early July. I'm Noah Taborda.
Find more of our coverage of various candidates and races ahead of the August 6th primary at stlpr.org. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.